Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Window Nation guest hotline from the Baltimore Banner preview Sunday's game, it's Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. How are you feeling?
Better now that I'm hearing that Dr. Dre instrumental. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome for the song. By the way, I never heard that before. Nolan, you give him all the credit for that one. But Jonas, health-wise, 2 days in a row, 53 men, all 53, for early November, feeling as good as they possibly can, getting ready for a football game on the road Sunday. And two new additions coming in, we think. Well, Draymond Jones for sure, but is Carl Lawson going to be on the field at Minnesota coming up 1 o'clock Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the expectation. I think that's the expectation from a lot of people. I haven't seen Carl this week, but, you know, John Harbaugh said earlier this week that he expects him to play. He's had, like, I think 4 full practices now after today to really ramp up. And listen, I mean, I think there's clearly a need to upgrade from David Ojabo, and that's in the run defense department, that's in the pass rush department. So barring just like a totally underwhelming performance from him in practice, which, you know, is possible, he hasn't played for at any point this season, I think we should probably see Carl Lawson out there making his Ravens debut.
Now, we've been talking about all week, Jonas, you're obviously aware of it. Ravens aren't that good getting to the quarterback, but Minnesota's terrible protecting the quarterback. 33 sacks allowed. J.J. McCarthy in 3 games has been sacked 14 times. What side of the football gets better? I mean, which one will continue to be bad and which one will step up and maybe exceed season-long accomplishments here?
Man, that's tough. A lot of that Vikings offensive line struggles, I think, are you laid the feet of J.J. McCarthy. I think he's got one of the longest time to throws in the NFL. I mean, his sack rate is, what, like 17-18%, just absurdly high. So I think they'll kind of meet in the middle. I still am not convinced that this Ravens line, this Ravens pass rush particularly, will become anything more than average over the rest of the season, even with Draymond Jones. And, you know, listen, there's a lot of talent on that Vikings front. Darisaw, you know, is there. They paid a lot of money for Will Fries. I know he's been disappointing. I think it sounds like Donovan Jackson, their first-round pick out of Ohio State, is really coming along. So I guess if you're asking me to kind of put my fingers on the scales there, I probably would say I lean toward Minnesota having a better-than-normal performance. But, you know, it doesn't take much for J.J. McCarthy to screw things up. So I guess anything is possible. It wouldn't shock me one bit if the Ravens come out of this with 4 sacks.
That being said, Ravens defensively, what, 3 weeks? They've averaged 13 points allowed after averaging over 30 through the vast majority of the early portion. Are you buying at least, Jonas, that the deep – well, they have to be better than they were, say, in week 3, but how much better are they, and are they good enough, given the personnel that they have, given health, to, you know, get to 500 and maybe win the division and then obviously, you know, do a little damage here once we get into January?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're absolutely – it's absolutely a defense that can not be an albatross as the Ravens go for this 3-peat in the AFC North. I mean, just look at the schedule. It is full of a bunch of tomato cans, and I think that includes J.J. McCarthy. I mean, like, you know, I don't know. I guess Jordan Love would probably be the best quarterback remaining on the Ravens schedule, and we just saw him lose a total WTF game to the Panthers. So there's not really – barring a miraculous return to health from Joe Burrow, there's not really a whole lot of breadwinners out there. And obviously, I think the Ravens defense probably isn't as good as the advanced stats would have you believe over these past 3 weeks. But if they have anywhere close to the kind of second half resurgence that they did last year, then you trust this offense to be a top five unit, and bam, you've got yourself a top five offense, top 15 defense, top 10 special teams. That's good enough to make you the favorite in like 80-90% of the games.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, Fiddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Oh, this featured artist Friday. All right, Minnesota's deep bets coming in here. All right, I mean, they did some things to Jared Goff last week. They got 5 sacks there. But, you know, statistically, not, you know, they're not the 2000 Ravens by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of talk about Brian Flores, what he did 4 years ago against Lamar when he was with Miami. Is that even a talking point as we sit here on November 7th, 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I think the great thing about Brian Flores is that, like, anything is on the table. You know, I wrote a story about that Cover Zero game that went up yesterday, and talking to John Jenkins, who was a reserve defensive lineman on that Dolphins team, and I asked him, like, what do you remember from that game? He said, man, I don't remember the game plan being anything different from the other game plans. Like, the Dolphins did not go into that game expecting to play Cover Zero 40 on 40 of the Ravens, you know, 60-plus offensive snaps. It just was a thing that worked once, and Brian Flores kept doing it over and over again until the Ravens cried uncle. And I think that's, you know, this Vikings defense has evolved. I think it has more pass rush talent where you don't need to be reliant on heavy pressure schemes to get home. But it's still a Brian Flores defense, which means he's going to do some funky stuff. And the best way to, you know, undercut the possibility of funky stuff is to run the dang ball well. Like, you don't want to find yourself in third and long. I think both teams, it's going to be a death warrant for themselves if they have to find themselves in third and long, because McCarthy is terrible on third down. And if I'm the Ravens, I don't want to be, you know, just seeing all this pre-snap, you know, nonsense from Brian Flores, because I couldn't establish the run. So it's going to be a fascinating game. I think Kevin O'Connell was pretty interesting. He had a pretty interesting remark when he was asked about the pressure plan. He said, like, listen, you got to make sure that you have someone there to kind of cover up the mess if the quarterback breaks free. And they got burned by Caleb Williams in week one on some scrambles, that they got burned even more by Justin Herbert in week eight. And Lamar is a better athlete than both those guys. So I think they're going to have to kind of calibrate it, and it's going to be interesting to see just what the Vikings draw up.
Both teams coming off road wins last week, Minnesota at Detroit, and then the Ravens hammering the Dolphins, as everyone kind of expected. Pretty hefty spread. We're not here to talk about the spread, though, Jonas. I mean, we've been talking about the Ravens getting a 5-5 by the time the Jets come here the Sunday before Thanksgiving. How are things trending for Baltimore here in an AFC that's wide open? Look, Denver's 8-2, but maybe one of the more unimpressive 8-2s we've seen in quite some time here.
Yeah, I mean, and then you look at what the Dolphins did last night, and you're wondering, or not the Dolphins, excuse me, the Broncos did last night. You're like, wow, if the Ravens can make it to the playoffs, is there any way that you could see them,
right,
that you could, you know, scheme up a way to get them in the wild card round? Because sure, they're 8-2, but man, that is a wildly unimpressive 8-2 when you look at who they've beaten and the margins they've beaten them by. I mean, obviously, you know, you can make the case, if you're really bullish on the Colts, that is the most complete team in the NFL, just because I think I still have some concerns about Buffalo's defense, even after what they did to the Chiefs. But, like, everyone is gettable, and there's very, very little separating the best team from, I don't know, the sixth or seventh best team in the AFC. And obviously that's partly what is fueling the Ravens' belief in not only getting the chance to make a playoff run, but what they could do if and when they get to the postseason. So it's going to be fascinating. Obviously, the Ravens need to stay healthy. Knock on wood, hopefully they do. But, you know, there's not a whole lot separating the wild card teams from the potential one seed in this conference.
What happened Sunday, Jonas Schaefer?
Bob, I'm back to being a hater. I think the Vikings get this one. I think it's going to be like a 21-20 type game. I still am a little bit hesitant on buying super into this Ravens team, especially against a Vikings defense that has as much pass rush talent as this one. And I just feel like with the talent that the Vikings have, and based on what J.J. McCarthy did against Detroit, which you know, it wasn't a whole lot, but he at least kind of sort of kept them on schedule. I just think that they can do enough at certain spots to take advantage of the Ravens. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past J.J. McCarthy, despite everything that I've said negatively about him for the past 50 minutes.
Yeah, no.
He has been capable of, you know, of conjuring some fourth quarter magic. And with the Ravens playing in a loud stadium there and J.J. McCarthy channeling his nine alter ego, I do think Minnesota's going to pull out a close one.
Yeah, he'll be mean mugging at some point, I guess. He is Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, appreciate it as always. Have fun in Minnesota. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you having me.
You got it. Here's Jonas Schaefer going to Minnesota. What do you think? 410-583-1057. We'll come back. Whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. That Keith Kavanaugh. TerrapinTimes.com. Preview Maryland Georgetown coming up tonight at 6. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Our coverage starts at 5. And then tomorrow, Maryland at Rutgers. Really, I mean, I'm stating the obvious. Maryland needs to win tomorrow, for real.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game, everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Featured Artist Friday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. He'll be back on Monday. As a matter of fact, Vinny will be at the Falston Barrel House for Sunday's Ravens Vikings extravaganza. Last night, NFL. Well, not exactly an extravaganza. As a matter of fact, kind of a snooze fest. As Denver took on the Las Vegas Raiders. Denver won the game, but I guess here's, if you want to call it, a highlight.
Slips to the outside. Nix looks that way. Then over the middle, then to the right. Throws. Caught. Into the end zone for the touchdown. Troy Franklin.
Come on, Al Michaels. Calm down a little bit. They're on Amazon Prime. Troy Franklin, only touchdown of the game for the Denver Broncos. Aston Genty scored in the first quarter for the Raiders, and that was all she wrote for them offensively. Denver got six sacks, but Bo Nix struggled. City quarterback rating 54.2. Touchdown, as we heard, two picks. J.K. Dobbins, yeoman's work running the football, but their offense stinks. And they've been scored 18 points a game. Outside of that explosion against the Giants a couple of weeks ago, they've had a real hard time putting points on the board. But Nolan McGraw, the bottom line is they've won seven games in a row, and they sit at 8-2. But, man, I don't think anyone's quaking in their boots looking to play the Broncos. And even if they finish 15-2 and had home field advantage, I think teams will be knocking each other over trying to get there and take on Denver in the divisional round.
Right. I mean, you're not going to argue against the record. And if you're the Broncos, you'd rather be sitting there at this point of the season knowing, all right, well, now we got some wiggle room to figure it out. You know, we're not up against it. We've got this nice record. We're sitting okay. But when you're going up against a team like the Raiders, I'm sorry, you can't even play the defense card. Like, oh, we're an elite defense. We're going to beat you that way. It's the Raiders. You played the Texans a week prior to that. Cowboys before that, Giants, Jets. I mean, you have not had a really tough stretch here. I'm not taking anything away from you. They beat the Eagles, right? But, you know, I'm just saying, like, they should be showing themselves a lot better. And individually, they do have the talent. Like, J.K. Dobbins, I thought he was having a pretty good season as of late. Maybe slowing down a little bit, but I still trust him. I don't think Bo Nix is all that bad. I mean, they have what they need, in my opinion. Just 10 points, that's just not going to cut it.
Nope. And, hey, look, when they last won the Super Bowl back in 2015, they pretty much did that with their defense and running the football because Peyton Manning was well beyond his prime years. Can you duplicate that 10 years later? Only time will tell. But a win's a win. They're 8-2, and I guess that's all that matters. Now, College basketball locally last night. Loyola, man, the Greyhound. They beat Penn State Abingdon and did it handily. 96-60. Morgan beat Central Pennsylvania 101-77. So a couple of W's there from some local teams. If you like Thursday night college football, how about Georgia Southern? 25-23 over Appalachian State. South Florida, 55-23 over the University of Tennessee, San Antonio. Tonight, USC takes on Northwestern. USC ranked number 19. A little Friday Night Football Big Ten fun for you. Check your local listings. This day in sports history today is November the 7th. How about 1989, Nolan, before you were born? Actually, a few years before you were born, as a matter of fact. Greg Olsen, the Otter, was named as the American League Rookie of the Year, relief pitcher for the Orioles. 5-2 with a .169, 27 saves in 64 games. Only gave up one homer. And had the Orioles, unfortunately, finished short of winning the division of the Blue Jays. But he had a game in Oakland in May or June, whatever it was, where he struck out the side in the bottom of the ninth, where it's all... He had a great curveball until he blew out his elbow, reinvented himself. Buck Showalter brought him in when he was in Arizona in the late 90s. But Greg Olsen, the Otter, was Rookie of the Year on this day, officially, 1989, 1976. Have a little NFL fun for you in San Diego. The Baltimore Colts take it on the Chargers. Burt Jones, 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Roger Carr, 1 to Lydell Mitchell. The sack pack got to Dan Fouts and Clint Longley. 5 times, Colts blow out San Diego, 37-21, proved a 7-1 on the year. And then a year ago today at M&T Bank Stadium, one of the great games of the season, Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow both threw 4 touchdown passes. And the Ravens edge Cincinnati 35-34. Nnamdi Madubuike alone had 3 sacks. Now, Madubuike sadly out for the year, and you know, knock on for Micah, he'll come back to play at some point, resume his career. But 2 games, Nolan, the Ravens played the Bengals last year, both barn burners, 1-1 in overtime. And as great as Joe Burrow was, their defense was so bad, the Ravens won both of them.
Yeah, I'll take a couple boring games this year if you don't mind. You know,
but Joe Burrow went all 9 touchdowns, 1 pick against the Ravens, I think it was. And they lost both games. But a year ago today, in that one, that was crazy. I think it was a Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken. Sound correct? Jamar Chase running all over the field. Oh, yeah. That does ring a bell. We'll see if that doesn't duplicate itself against Minnesota. I don't want to see Addison and Jefferson running all over Baltimore. We'll come back. Keith Kavanaugh, TerribleTimes.com. Preview Maryland Georgetown tonight at 6. Coverage starts at 5 on the fan with Ken Wyman, getting you ready for Johnny Holiday, the Wiz, Chris Knocke. And then tomorrow, Maryland taking on Rutgers. They need to win. It's as simple as that. Must win game if you want to get a condiment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bowl. But joining us now, a guy who's got his own, I don't know, his flavor, his style, his vibe from TerribleTimes.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Plenty happening at the University of Maryland this weekend. He's Keith Kavanaugh. Keith, good morning. How you feeling?
Bob, we used to call you two-pack. Now we call you quarter keg, well, but I digress.
2 packs of cigarettes, maybe.
With, all is good. Beautiful day.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to recruiting first. basketball and football, a couple of gets for the programs over the past 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, the good news is when Junior County, a Terp target, committed to UConn last week, well, Caden House, who we've spoke about before from Compass Prep down in Arizona, of course, Eddie House's son, who, if I'm not mistaken, way back in the day, Maryland recruited him briefly, Pops, before he went to Arizona State in the NBA. But Caden House, 6'2 guard, top 40, four-star out of Arizona, visited last month, but he's a volume shooter scorer. They're replenishing the guards very well, but he's got to go find two portal bigs because there's no bigs left in the high school ranks. Of course, Baba probably a lean towards Arkansas right now, number one player. Now, he's a 6'10 small forward out of Montgomery County. All of done, and I'm not holding my breath on him. But Caden, their third commit, that's very nice. You know, he had some good offers, you know, Connecticut, Vandy, St. John's, but he popped last week. And then Daryl Carey on the football side, Bob, with the Penn State turnover with James Franklin, he decommitted from Penn State. Three-star safety out of DeMatha. Long-rangey kid at 6'2", 6'2 and a half. He came on board 2 days ago. It was mostly expected. So the good news is, getting a three-star from DeMatha and getting any kid right now is good. The bad news is the football class is still ranked 81st in the country.
Yikes.
Bob Haney. It's all three stars. And Randy Edsall used to even get higher rated classes than that. So they're going to have to finish strong. There's not a lot out there. And then you got to hold on to all these guys. There's 12 commits. Zion Ali at the five-star from St. Francis is counted in that national ranking, but he'll never matriculate at Maryland. Someone's going to come in and poach him at the end. We've never held our breath on him. Looks good on paper. But Daryl Carey, you know, get a guy in like that, develop him, and he's from DeMatha, so that's always good. So Penn State's loss is Maryland's gain. Now, if Franklin gets Virginia Tech, I'm sure he'll try to swoop back in on Carey. So recruiting madness all the time.
All right, let's get to the game tomorrow night before we talk about the gold rush down at Xfinity. Terps, they've lost four in a row. We know the drill. Coming off the debacle against Indiana. I mean, Rutgers had their own debacle last week against Illinois. They're favored by 2.5. Quarterback looks like he can do some things for sure. Might be prone to the turnover, gets sacked a lot. How do you see this one unfolding tomorrow at 2:30? As the Maryland offense is kind of going into sleepy time the last couple of
years. Yeah, I mean, Locks needs to go down to D.C. and find the U.S. Patent Office and get a patent on new ways to lose every week. They are very creative. So this past week, it was Malik having his worst game ever. Malik throwing to the other team as opposed to his own team. And then Terp ball carriers getting stripped repeatedly. We're talking about coaching up fundamentals. Why is Malik still throwing off his back foot? Why is he throwing into double, triple, quadruple, and whatever next coverage after four. So you're seeing every week different issues crop up. This is the most winnable game left. Rutgers defense is like a sieve. They're terrible. Quarterback and offense has been very up and down. But if they don't get this game, and yeah, they're underdogs up there, next up, you know, you got at Illinois ranked, and then Michigan home ranked, and then at Sparty, who may be playing for John L. Smith's job in the finale, the last game of the season. But Maryland just can't get it right, kind of coming unglued on the field. Some of Loxley's comments of late have kind of come unglued as well. I guess we could spend a whole hour discussing those. But still looking to put two halves together, string some quarters together, find a run game. The tackling has really regressed, getting guys down to the ground. You know, they've got the injured guys back. Mathis played sparingly last week. Everybody should be full tilt this week. But the biggest concern is the regression of Malik. Now, they are playing real teams now, i.e. Indiana. Now, Rutgers is not so much. But again, the backdrop to all this, they're playing the most powder puff schedule Maryland's ever played that I can recall. So they should be making more hay and not continuing to beat themselves.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. So Maryland Rutgers, you can hear the game 105.7 The Fan tomorrow. Now tonight, you can hear on The Fan, College Hoops men, Terps taking on Georgetown. And Keith, you and I are old enough to remember the games at the old D.C. Armory where Ernie Graham went over and patted John Thompson on his head because John Thompson was about to kill Lefty Driesell in those games in the late 70s and early 80s. The rivalry, I guess, the matchup stopped after 1980 with the exception of a redo in 16 and 17. Then they met in 93 and then the 01 tournament. But is this, before we get to the game, with the relationship that Cooley and Buzz have from their big East days, is this something that could get reignited at least on a semi-annual basis here?
Yeah, and Buzz loves the big early season schedule. I mean, you got Marquette coming up, Gonzaga, UNLV, Georgetown tonight. Should be a sellout, Gold Rush, 6 o'clock game, get there early. And, of course, we can't forget back in the day, the Capitol Center, Joe Smith, Keith Booth, Curtis Schultz, and Dwayne, huge games there. What did Curtis have, the big steal or the rebound? I can't remember. And they finished that game out when they were underdogs. What was that, Othello Harrington
days? Yeah, Georgetown, Joe Smith's first game, and he went off like the guy that would be eventually 26. Be the first pick of the draft. Yeah.
Yeah, and so anyhow, fast forward to now, Cooley's got it going on. It's year two. He's got a boatload of portals. Of course, Malik Mack from Harvard. Who at the advent of NIL a couple of years ago, wasn't he the kid who put out a $3 million bounty on himself saying, hey, I'll come to your school for $3 million. Most people passed. He wanted to go to Michigan, but he settled on Georgetown. Then, of course, they got Lewis, the transfer guard from Arizona. And, of course, Bob, the return of DHS. Deshaun Harris-Smith, our former Terp from last year, he's a rotational piece at Georgetown this year. But they don't have much in the front court, so I love the fact the two guards came back from Maryland the other day. Still have three guys out, and I don't think Rice will go tonight. But the spacing, guys getting separation, ball movement, distribution to open shooters, knocking down 10 three-pointers, 11 forced turnovers in the first half. Transition D was a little choppy at times, but Coit, that guy can fill it. Now he may be a slight defensive liability at his size, but he can fill it and he can distribute. You got multiple point guards. You have a lot of ways to go. You still have three guys out, but that was a different team than the first scrimmage. Clearly with the two guards back, Watts coming in, knocking down three balls. You know, we were concerned after the first game, who's going to throw it in the ocean. And Mills is really kind of like that junkyard dog. So Payne's got to stay involved, got to pound the paint tonight. He cannot get in foul trouble. He cannot get injured after him. They're kind of, you know, light in the front court, but you got to love Buzz and all these interchangeable parts. And once they fully get healthy, which obviously won't be this year with Passmore out for the whole year, and Solomon Washington should be back in about a month and a half. I'm really excited about this team and his demeanor and how he's building this this chemistry, because look at a guy like Darius Adams now. He's back off the ball at combo. He's electric. He can get to the basket. He can get to the foul line. And Payne 100% from the free throw line, where a year ago he was only a 58% shooter. So a lot of good things and a lot of encouragement and very exciting tilt tonight.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, we'll let you roll. Anything else we need to know? I mean, men's soccer trying to win the Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
Number one in the country.
They've had a drought the last couple of years. A lot of their stars left early, and the women are rolling. They finally got some women's hoops. They got some bigs now, and they're top 10 and ascending higher and higher. So it's that crazy season, football, basketball, recruiting, tiddlywinks, whatever else, Parcheesi are playing tonight during the game. So it's all good, and hopefully football can scratch out one or two more, somehow get to the postseason. But, you know, you heard the Boo Birds last week at Bird or Maryland Stadium for Lox and how he reacted. It was a little bizarre, but we can save that for later. So go Terps this weekend, starting tonight, 6.
Keith Cavanaugh, have a great weekend. Talk to you next Friday.
You too, Bob. Thanks.
You got it. Keith Cavanaugh will come back reset for you. Coming up top of the hour, news from the Nats. Going to hear from the Ravens, head of the matchup against Minnesota, coming up 1 o'clock on Sunday. Ravens still 4.5-point favorites. Buy or sell, where's the weekend money? Hopefully we're counting that, talking about sports subjects of the day. And then Jerry Coleman, get his thoughts on what happened with the Orioles. Albernaz won the press conference. That's all great. Can they win some games? If you're putting together an all-time Maryland team versus an all-time Georgetown team, I mean, depending on your age bracket, because Georgetown was a prominent basketball powerhouse for many years, kind of fallen off a little bit as of late. But, hey, they had the Otto Porter years, and Kevin Braswell, Baltimore guy, rest in peace. He was part of some things. Greg Monroe, Roy Hibbert, I mean, they were in the Final Four back in 07. With JT3, I think JT Jr. was Big John with the towel. So we can get into all of that. Maryland just made their first Sweet 16 in, 9 years. Last year, Derek Queen, I mean, he was one and done, but accomplished enough to be placed in the pantheon of Maryland greats. Like, Steve Francis was only here for a year, but that was an electric year. Dolan, you were three. And it's incredible. I'm going to go, old man, when you get one of the advantages. His first game, it was me, my sister, and my nephew, Mike Haney, who, when he graduated from Cadenceville, was the seventh all-time leading scorer in Cadenceville High School. I think Ben Hall may have passed him when it was all said and done. But they were playing Western Carolina, and it was Francis, LaRon Prophet, Abina Akizi, Terrell Stokes. Juan was a freshman on that team. Danny Miller, they brought in as a McDonald's All-American. Lonnie Baxter was a freshman on that team. Terrence Morris, who was entering his sophomore season. They must have had 10 alley-oop dunks in that game. Won by like 50. And that team wound up losing to St. John's in the Sweet 16 with Eric Barkley and Ron Artest, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But it's unbelievable that's been, what's it, 98, this is 27 years ago. That was, Gary Williams has said it, we used to get LeBron on all the time, Prophet. That was probably Gary's best team inch for inch, pound for pound. It's seven NBA players on that team. And a McDonald's All-American and Danny Miller. Abina Keezy got hurt for the NC State game, but it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because Lonnie Baxter came in, replaced him, and then Lonnie became one of the great players in Maryland history as they went to back-to-back Final Fours. But Steve Francis was here for a year, Nolan, but it was an explosive year at that. So do you need at least 2 years to be considered like the dude?
I don't think so.
Like Carmelo, I'm guessing, is going to be in every Syracuse greatest teams list. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, just hearing, you know, we had Trey and Joppa offering more of my age perspective.
Sure. Gravis was a stud too, which we forget.
I mean, hey, he's in my five if I'm making one. Sure. But I'm thinking with how hard it is, it might even be hard to put together one for just eras or even decades. Like if you just,
great point,
just 10-year period, you might still struggle with certain decades to put there and narrow it down to five. I mean, like we were talking big men and Trey had, you know, Jordan Williams in there. We appreciate the shout out, but to me, if a big man, I mean, got to get Sticks in there, but he could even be the four because if he's going to have the three-point ability, you want a typical big man. Mm-hmm. All right, maybe Jordan Williams.
Yeah, he was more of a low post, old school guy, but Sticks still thriving.
I mean, it could be Queen. It could be. I mean, just off of raw skill set, I'm not going to argue against it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Kevin Herter's been in the league for coming up on, 10 years now? He was here for 2 years. Melo Trimble was brilliant. His freshman year, he was one of the best players in the country. Like Brad Davis was a stud his freshman year, kind of leveled off the next two, but was a first-round pick. Spent 15 years in the NBA. His numbers hanging in the rafters where the Mavericks play, whatever the name of there is. But I think if you're talking about eras, now Melo wouldn't be in my all-time Maryland team, but from the 2000s on, or 2010 for sure, he's got to be your point guard, I would think.
2010s. Yeah. But then even then.
Remember Cowan maybe? I don't know.
I did like Anthony Cowan quite a bit. But Trimble is better than him. And I mean, Vasquez did cross over into the 2010s for, just a year?
Yeah, one year.
But we'll count him 2000. But even then, he's going up against Juan and Blake. Very guard heavy. It's hard to pick amongst the guards.
And Trey, with all due respect, Mike Jones, great three-point shooter and was a McDonald's All-American. I mean, Chris McRae, inch for inch, pound for pound, was probably a better player than Mike Jones was. Not as highly regarded as a recruit. Chris McRae played in the NBA for a little bit there with the Milwaukee Bucks. But both teams had a plethora of superstar players. Patrick Ewing is one of the greatest college players of all time. So they got him. And so is Bias for Maryland.
Well, that's like the all-time. When you both of them are automatics for the all-time starting five.
Yeah.
And that's the fantasy matchup right there, to see those two battle.
And they never played when they were in college together, and their careers did. You know, they were simultaneous for the most part. But I'll say this as we hit the top of the hour, and it's just my humble opinion. If Joe Smith would have stayed for 3 years, he played two. And his first year, he was National Freshman of the Year, first team All-ACC, helped Maryland get to the Sweet 16. His second year, he was a National Player of the Year, Naismith Award winner, first team All-American, ACC Player of the Year, which is an ACC that included Tim Duncan and Rasheed Wallace and Jerry Stackhouse. If he stays 3 years, he's the greatest player in Maryland history. And he'd be in my all-time top five because he was a badass. And we ain't talking about how it went to the next level in the NBA because he had his moments in the NBA, but wound up playing for like a bazillion teams. Never, like, Wallace was a stud, Stackhouse. I mean, Duncan is one of the great players in the history of basketball. But for a collegiate player, Joe Smith is as good as we've seen ever wear a Maryland uniform. Just go back to 95 at Duke in that game against the Blue Devils, and that's all you need to know about Joe Smith. We'll come back, news from the Nest. Then we're going to count some dough, buy or sell, and then Jerry Coleman. And we're going to bring it down a notch. We're going to calm things down with Jerry Coleman at 12:30.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.